Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Receiving core and different things that are happening with this football team. And Lanfield, you going to text him? Just text him. He responded to you before. Tell him that Jeff is trying to call him from a number that doesn't show up. Because, you know, a lot of the brothers these days, especially me, I don't answer numbers that pop up as, what do they call it, spam, or they don't show you a number. I just don't check into it. But I just want to get Tanner's take on a new receiving core. The possibilities that we have or lack thereof. I mean, a lot of people just automatically assume they're not going to play. But I believe that if Terry get better quarterback play, Terry's going to be even better. I believe that Deami Brown right now, probably the light bulb is finally going off. And he played terrific throughout the training camp, throughout preseason. And I think he's going to be making those steps this year. You guys, Zacchaeus, Olamide Zacchaeus, a young man who's been around for a long time. He's an all-time receiving leader down at UVA. On top of that, you got Pringle, you got Crowder, guys that can play who have done it in this league. And sometimes it may not be that we have the best two or the triplets or things of that nature. We may just say the sum of the whole may be just a little better than what people think. I believe Terry McLaurin is going to do what he's done throughout his career. I think Deami Brown could take the top off of it. And people seem to be questioning Luke a lot. One thing I know about the young man, he's willing to learn some things. He's super talented. And I believe he's going to be able to go out there and make some plays for you. You know, the ultimate thing is Luke is a guy who was a former quarterback. He changed his position. And for me, I'll be honest with you, I cheer for those guys. I cheer for the guys that kind of went down the same path that I did. You know, get position change, but you get an opportunity because you can play. Guy don't get drafted in the third round as a receiver if he's not good, especially after you change your position. You know, I think that's the ultimate thing, and I believe he's fast. He's bigger than his brother. He's faster than his brother, which I guess a lot of people may not believe. But, yes, his brother has done some terrific things, and you can't automatically assume that. And I know that I saw somebody in a text that said, people are not like human beings where you can't breed them. Well, that's a lie. It's been going on in some of these other countries for years now where we see guys, they marry different athletes from the same family, and they produce a kid, and that kid ends up being great later on. That happens. So it's not that you can't do it. You probably don't want to see people doing it, but it happens. You see two athletes get together or married or whatever, then you find out a kid. Boom, that dude could play. It happens over and over again. It's nothing new. But I have high expectations for him, for this receiving core. I have high expectations for the team. The reason I have it, because I just believe they're going to be pushed. And it's not going to be allowed for them to just to go out there and go through the motions. I sent them a text and see if he'd pick it up. So I don't think that they're going to just go through the motions and be able to constantly be put on the field. The thing that killed me last year was that we talked about holding people accountable. And the same people were on the field every week. So if you're holding somebody accountable and they're not living up to what you want them to live up to, how on earth are you going to say that you really believe in accountability? So this year, I'm looking at this offensive line in the interior is probably a little better. We'll find out if Wiley's going to continue how he finished up last year or he's going to play like he did before. Lucas. Lucas has been around for like 9, 10 years now. And I think he's good enough to go out on the football field and perform. I saw last year when he had his opportunities, he didn't go out there and falter. But what I've seen in preseason gives me hope, where I see guys chip blocking, helping out the tackle on the way out. I see running backs stepping up and hitting people. You know, a lot of that we didn't see in the previous, before Eric got here and after, I mean, when Eric was here. We saw guys going out and leaving a guy to block by himself. If you don't feel you have a Trent Williams, if you don't feel you have a Jim Lachey, you give him a little help. That can make things equal for him. It can bring it back together. And I'm expecting to see that. Because all I think is that if you keep Jaden upright, people are talking about, well, he's getting rid of the ball 1.95 seconds. Where is that bad at in this world? That's a great thing right there. It's great the fact that your quarterback can read, decipher where it should go, and let it go. And if you could just give him that time, and let's say, if they could give him 3 seconds, he could probably get the ball even farther down the field. And those things will happen. Preseason is not a place where you go out there and you're definitely trying to show everything you're about. Yeah, we all talk about, oh, we don't want Jaden to get hurt. Then when Cliff goes into the game and throw the quicker passes, then we let these analytics folks tell us, oh, man, he's not going down the field. To hell with them. We know that we don't want to put a guy out there too many times because everyone is concerned about injuries. So analytics, you can't come out here and try to make yourself look good to me when I know that the coaches are doing this for a reason. It's not what they really want to do. But as the season starts and goes on and they get more and more confidence in the quarterback and in the offensive line, they'll go down the field a little bit more. They'll begin to do some different things. It's never going to be everything that you want it to be. Numbers don't tell the whole story at all. It's nowhere close. It never tells the whole story. And if we keep letting that segment of society try to tell us, keep throwing these numbers at us, it's emotions that goes into this game of football. It's somebody that's just better than you that goes to this game of football. You could tell me what the numbers say all you want, but what if the guy in front of you is just better than what the numbers depict? It may say run the ball 50 times a game, but if that defense on the other side not going to allow it, then should you keep running the football? No. You should start trying to pass it, try to get some stuff that's going to deceive them or whatever. So as I look at football, I think football is too complicated for any of us to believe that because someone tells us, if you do this amount of times, you should have success. I never hear those people at the end of the game saying, well, we were wrong. I never hear that. It's a part of the game. It's not the end-all, be-all. When you hear society tell you, when the numbers come back, analytics tell you about you should do this, do that, they're doing this to this many times on third down, you take that opportunity and you jump at it. But what if it doesn't work? Do you keep doing it or do you change up? So for me, moving forward, it's not about the name of the person we have. It's how you utilize the person based off of the capabilities that they have. And if they don't do it, you find another way. Back 1980, 81, when Joe Gibbs came here, Joe Gibbs rolled into town wanting to be a passing offense. Eric Coyier, they wanted to run that offense. They would start off at 0-5. When the coach sat back and realized that I have a team of guys who can run the football effectively, he changed it. They went 8-3. Would the analytics have told them to do that? Or that was a coach who noticed that he had the people on his team that couldn't do what he wanted to do. Analytics would have probably told him to start throwing the ball more and start doing different things. And that quarterback would have got the hell beat out of him. That offense wouldn't have been good. That team would have lost more. And we probably wouldn't know Joe Gibbs as we know Joe Gibbs today. But a gut feeling told him, I got John Riggins. I got an offensive line that can block their tails off. I'm going to start running this counter tray. Then off of that, I'm going to run some play-action passes. And it became one of the most prolific offenses out there, running the football and also passing it. You had guys with 3,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards pass receiving. You had a quarterback throwing the ball a lot of times for touchdown, not a lot of interceptions. Yeah, the quarterback gets sacked only, what, 9-10 times in a whole season. I know that's unheard of for a lot of people because they get sacked a lot more now. But that's because the man knew what he was dealing with and he went with it. So I look at this receiving core and I say, Terry McLaurin is a bad dude. He's had this success with the quarterbacks that he's had. Moving forward, yes, we don't have a bunch of name guys right now. But I know that a lot of guys that started off that are names today, they weren't names when they first started. They had to get some other people around them, had to get somebody on the other side so the team don't sit there and they'll double them all the time. And I believe that this offense here is not about just the offense, I mean the receivers. You got tight ends who I think are be able to catch the ball and give added targets to Jaden Daniels. I believe you have a running back in Austin Ekeler who has already shown in this league what he can do coming out the backfield. We have another guy over there in Brian Robinson who runs the football very, very violently, but he also has shown the capability of catching the ball out the backfield at this moment. So as we move forward, let's stop looking at everybody else's team and the construction of their team and think we got to be exactly like them. Because if we look at that, Kansas City shouldn't have been great last year. They shouldn't have won a Super Bowl. Kelce did not have the year that he normally has. And no, I'm not comparing anybody on this team to Travis Kelce. The receivers that they had last year, no, none of those guys on the side of the Chiefs were household names. But they won. And yes, because they had a good quarterback. I understand that. But still, when they let Tyreek Hill go, nobody thought they were going to play great. People were making all kinds of comments. And they still were able to make it work. Why? Because Andy Reid understands how to utilize the people he has. Andy Reid understands how to ignore numbers sometimes and just know what you know. I see the guy every day. The people with the analytics, you know where they see him? They see him in a game. They see them once I've gone through stuff, removed, added on, and then they tell me what I'm supposed to do. Ultimately, you don't know what I've already got rid of. You don't know why I'm going to call the play I call on 3rd and 10. I know why I'm going to call it because I watch their defense, and I know what they do on that down. I'm going to take apart what they're trying to do. I know what their strengths are. I'm going to attack their weakness. But I'm not going to change what I do. I'm going to make them do something that they're not already doing. That is what we're going to have to do going forward. It's not going to come down to no damn analytics and numbers, and I do respect it. But I hate the fact that that whole facet has come in and act like they are the only people that matter. Their way is the only thing that matters, and that's not how it goes with me. I just feel football is about a game of adjustments. It's a game of matchups, and it's a game of opportunities. When an opportunity is presented to you, you do not flunk. You do not fail on it. You have to take advantage of it. If there's a ball on the ground, you can't jump and squirt it out and let the other team that just fumbled it get it back. If a ball hits you in your hands, you got to catch it. Okay? If you're a defensive player and you break on the ball, you catch it. You drop that ball, 9 times out of 10, the next play is going to go against you. Can't allow that to happen. So we'll still try to get Santana Moss a little bit later on. I don't know what's going on with it, but if we start getting the mindset of get the best out of the player that you have, you'll find out your team will be a lot better instead of expecting the person that you have to be somebody else. All right, Landfield and Jeff, I'm going to come to y'all. I was asking all everybody else about their expectation. I didn't ask any of you. I'll go with Landfield first. What's your expectations for the team this year?
My expectations, one, I think the linebackers are going to be improved.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretty bad last year. I think that they made some moves in the offseason to improve that, and I think the linebacker play will be better. I think Jaden Daniels, I expect him to be an Offensive Rookie of the Year candidate. Not saying that he'll necessarily win, but I think he will be one of the better rookies on offense. I think that they're going to improve the run-pass balance. It was bad last year at times.
Huh?
with the constant, what was it, like 40 times, 43 times they threw in a row?
Yeah.
I expect him to run the ball a little bit more. And I also expect the DBs to still suck.
Do you think, I'm asking you this question, and I'm going to see it. Do you think the pass rush is going to be better?
That's hard for me. The other thing, too.
I think if that is better, then the defensive back will be better.
Yes. The other thing that's hard about that pass rush, though, is because kind of, you know, halfway through the season when they started making those trades, it kind of changed. You know, I feel that it got noticeably worse down the stretch. So I guess I would say, which part will it be better than the pass rush at the beginning of last year or the pass rush at the end of last year? Because I think it'll be better than at the end.
Okay.
At the beginning, I don't know.
All right. Well, we had one side pass rushing last year.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff?
Okay, I know you said we didn't want to talk about the record, but I think we will be way better than a 4-win team this year. I'm expecting us to show progress. I'm expecting at least 7 wins, at least. Mm-hmm. I just want to keep it there because the fan.
You really want to say 10.
Yeah, I really do, but but I'm going to be realistic with this one, B. And I honestly think our defense as a unit, I expect it to be better because just how you were talking about the pass rush, I think we will have more of a, I would say, an intricate scheme as far as sending players to put pressure on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the issue was. We did not send pressure.
No, we didn't
last year at all. But I think that's going to change. Like as you said, more pressure is going to make our DBs look better. You know, I think I could look good if I got 10 seconds in the pocket to pass downfield, you know? And
I question that.
But you get what I'm saying, though.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I also bless Logan Thomas' heart. You know, he was going to get catching them hospital balls last year, but I think we're going to have better tight end play. I'm expecting that with Zach Ertz coming in, with the rookie, Ben Sinnott. Looking at that position, that's one thing I really felt Washington has been missing is like a true tight end, uh-huh. Like someone who was born to play that position. I think we have that back, so I'm expecting more from that position. Also, I expect the offensive line and I expect it to play better just because I expect Jaden's decision-making as far as getting the ball away and getting away from the pressure in the pocket and getting out of bounds and things. I think that's going to make our line look better this year, mm-hmm. because we have someone that knows, okay, I know the pressure is coming from this way. No shots to Sam, because I was on the Sam Howell bandwagon, but you know, it's just you either have it or you don't, you know. And when it comes to an organization like Washington, because it has been you know, in the dumps for so many years,
mm-hmm.
you have to have it. And even if you don't have it, you have to show that you're working towards that way. So I just see better quarterback play coming from Jaden. And just to conclude it, like my initial premise, I think we are way better than a 4-win team this year.
All right, well, man, I was expecting y'all to just give me like some lame stuff, but y'all really were prepared for that. And I appreciate it. But coming up at 12:30, we'll be joined by Santana Moss. Santana say he dozed off, so he's going to have us call him back. We're going to call him at 12:30, get him on. We're going to take us a quick break here, but when we get back, we'll be joined by Santana Moss.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, B. Mitchell Philly, 106.7 The Fan. And we get ready for be joined by our buddy Santana. Make sure that they get him. Go to the BetQL guest line. and talk to our guy. Sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to find you your most profitable betting opportunities. Get 3 free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. Tanner, what's up, brother? How you doing, man?
What's up, B? What's good with you?
I'm chilling, man. So, Tanner, I wanted to talk to you because as I talk to fans, everybody is waiting on a name and of receivers and this, that, and the other. You're over there more often than not. You watch these mm-hmm. receivers. We already know what Terry can do. What can you tell other people about the other receivers that could get them off the ledge just a little bit?
Well, you know, one of the things, you know, we were just talking about the wideouts the other day, and me, Logan, and Fred, and I was trying to tell them, I say, fans tell me all the time that, well, we don't have enough tall guys as receivers, or we don't have that name, that marquee name guy to go along with Terry as a receiver. And the first thing I said, you know, I wanted to address the issue about the tall stuff. But I'm like, what necessarily tells you that a guy being tall is going to make him play, you know, better?
Yeah.
Or a guy being tall is going to make us better as a core? You know what I'm saying? So I think, you know, when you have playmakers, you're not worried about how tall they is. Yes, we hear wide receiver and we thinking all these wide receivers got to be godly, have to be 6 feet or better. But that's not how we all made. And from far as I know, being a little guy, as long as you're going out there making the plays, doing your assignments, that's all needs to be done for you to be, for you to produce in that area. And so get that out your head first and foremost.
Uh-huh.
You see a guy like Terry McLaurin, all he needs is a guy that's going to compliment him, whether you tall or not. And we have a couple of guys now. You know, we picked up a guy, you know, from the Texans, Brown, who has a little height on him. And then we have McCaffrey, who has a little height on him. But and then also bringing Pringle in this year, he have a little height on him. But
yeah,
I don't like to get caught up in all that. And then when you go to just talking about the names, man, it's all about making plays. It's all about doing what you're supposed to do at that position. I take a little bit of, you know, something that I heard from when we were just talking about the whole Dotson situation. Like, you're looking at a player that I have a lot of, you know, love for. I think he's a tremendous kid. He's going to have his day where he can really show that he, you know, he can play this game, because we saw him as a rookie have a nice year. But I think when you ask him for a particular guy or situation to be the way that you want it to be, if it doesn't fit you, then you have to play the guys that's producing the way you want them to play. And I think that's the situation that panned out with Dotson. So, hey, man, you can't worry about what we don't have. You got to worry about what we have. And I think when you have a quarterback like Jaden and when you have the guys that's there that made the team, let them go out there and show you what they made of.
Yeah. I look at it, Tanner. When people talk about you, they talk about Gary Clark. I don't hear nobody talking about how tall y'all were.
Yeah.
All they talk about is y'all made plays. And I think mm-hmm. what has happened is, in this day and age, somebody here, one GM or one coach say something. A lot of us in the media, we start repeating what that person said, and then all the mm-hmm. fans just repeat it as if they really know what they're talking about. And basically what they're doing is repeating what somebody just stated.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy is running past you, Tyreek Hill is not tall, right?
At all.
He had 1,799 yards last year. I don't think anybody said they need to go get a guy that's 6'2". You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So just because other guys are big, everybody out there that's tall, they're not A.J. Brown. They're mm-hmm. not D.K. Metcalf. But I think ultimately you just need, like you said, you need playmakers. And for yeah. me, the guys they have in, no, they haven't jumped over that hump yet. But a lot of these guys mm-hmm. have experience and have had some success. Crowder has been yeah. consistent throughout. Zacchaeus has been consistent everywhere he goes. Pringle, been on the Super Bowl team. You know, Luke comes from great pedigree, and he has to learn this game, and I think he has to learn it at another position compared to what he was before. De'Ami Brown is now getting his opportunity. And Noah Brown last year proved when he gets the opportunity, he can ball out. Now he got to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just think that this receiving core is better than what people are giving them credit for,
mm-hmm.
and they just – everybody just think that – I just had this guy called in and was talking about letting KJ Henry go and then telling me about what's the cornerback, Gilmore. I'm like, look, dude, everybody that we let go is not going to go somewhere and be great, and everybody that somebody mm-hmm. else let go can't come here and be great. Sometimes you just got to go with what you go with.
my thing is too, be, you know, when you look at this situation that we're in, and I think a lot of people look at it from the standpoint of what other teams have.
Yeah.
And, you know, as far as I recall, back when I was playing and we were playing at a high level offensively, we brought in other receivers. We brought in a B. Lloyd. We brought in a Randall L. But regardless, the guys that moved that offense up and down the field was Portis, Cooley, and myself.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three names. And when you look at this offense here, you got a Zach Ertz. You have a Terry McLaurin. You have a dynamic young quarterback that we don't know what he's going to do, but we know sooner or later when he gets out there, he's going to be special. And then you have those guys in the backfield, B-Rob, and you have Eckler. So you have the guys, and then you have the complimentary guys on the outside, you know, as well to go along with Terry. So just got to let guys go out there and produce. And I feel, you know, I hate get caught up in the name game because a lot of these guys won't be who they are if they didn't get the opportunity. It's all about opportunity. And I'm sure, like, De'Ami Brown, man, I'm thrilled to see him, you know, being in the situation he is right now.
Yeah.
Because we know how tough it is to make a team when you get those coaching changes. And we know how his journey been so far. We've been waiting for him to, you know, get over that hump or whatever. And this preseason alone has been the first time I've seen things slow down tremendously for him. So I'm loving the fact that they have the guys that they have. Now let us go out there and watch these guys, you know, perform.
You know, Taylor, one thing I've said, like, I hear people always tell me, oh, man, the guy's in the contract year, he played better. I'm like, contract year is something that people have made up. What ultimately it is normally a guy in a contract year has played 3 years or 4 years, depending on the contract.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, some guys signed a 4-year deal, some guys signed a 5-year deal. So now when you're coming into your contract year, you better understand the game, you better understand what your routine is, and you now are not worried about anything anymore because you're settled down. That's why you play mm-hmm. better. It's not because it's your contract year, it's because you're more experienced at the game that you're playing now.
Yep. But tell the truth, though. You know that those contract years also – you know, it's a lot of pressure, and people fail to realize that you're playing for your livelihood. And, you know, something I learned from, you know, as a little young buck, pressure either going to make diamonds or bust pipes. So if you go out there with that pressure and produce, then we know what you become. And then if you don't, then we also know what happened to you. So, I mean, you can't worry necessarily what's going on, when it's going on. You know, I love talking to folks because me and Gary Clark and Fred had this talk last night. I love to hear the arguments that some of the fans bring us, but I'm like, I hate that. Look, if you're excited about this game, if you're excited about your team, let your team go out there and show you what they're made of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's not get caught up into the games that's going to be won. Let's not get up on how good they're going to be. Trust me. Be confident in what you have and let them show you who they are. Every week they're going to show you something new. And right now we don't know what this team's going to be because they're a new team. You got 33-plus something new guys on this team, and we also know the staff is new. So you got to let these guys go out there each week and show you what they're made of. But I think, man, it's going to be an exciting year, man. I'm just looking forward to it.
Dan, you get a chance to be over there with the team and you see the coaching that they're getting and you've been around the coaching staff and I just think that they're different. You know, this crew here, they're expecting stuff from their players, but they're giving them a lot too. You're giving them a lot to work with, and they're expecting a lot of good things. I was asking people earlier, what are the expectations for the season? I didn't ask for no record or nothing like that. Just what are you expecting to see from this team? Whether it's better approach, better passing game, running game, the defensive backs, whatever. What you expect from this team this year based off of what you've seen thus far?
You know what? The first thing stands out to me, man, just the watching how things are being operated around the building. I can honestly see an energy that I haven't saw in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And what I saw in the preseason, I'm not sure if it's something that jumped out to you, but I was just mentioning this to one of to Jonathan Allen. I say, bro, I blinked my eye. And it was 10 guys in one tackle.
Mm-hmm.
10 guys. The only reason why the 11 guy wasn't there because he was taken downfield by the wide receiver. And so immediately that showed me something that we have missed here a long time.
Yep.
Last time I saw guys running to the ball like that was, you know, when I was playing here and we had the defensive coordinator. I forgot his name.
Greg.
We were talking about him. Greg, there you go.
Greg Williams, the animal trainer.
Yeah, Greg Williams. Greg Williams to have that drill that made those guys run to the ball and made sure they, you know, they were showing up. And that's what you want. And I think that's what these guys bring in, man. You know, the first time Joe Witt said in our, you know, said in those seats, and we had that sit down with him, he was like, look, bro, we're going to play with an intensity and a tenacity that if you can't play that way, then you won't be here. Mm. And, you know, that's one of the things that Fred talked about. When you have, you know, the situations that we've seen just recently, a lot of these guys that we wish was around here, when you have a good team, sometimes you cut good players because that's the way your team is being built. So I'm looking for these guys to bring that kind of energy that from day one, the defensive coordinator came into the door and said he's going to bring. And then offensively, you know they're going to have to match it because those guys going against each other every day out there in practice. So they're going to be a more of a complete team, I think. You know, that's what I don't want to get too far out there talking about much. I think when we look back at those last 4 years and we was waiting for Rondon to do something, you know, they was just playing, man. They was trying to scrap and scrape and do what they could, but I don't think that unit was a team. And yeah. I think something that Jonathan Allen told us yesterday, we had one of the players club, and he said, Tanner, you know, I really feel like we have a team. I've really been motivated this year to go out here to practice, just seeing the guys fly around and the way we are learning. And that, to me, is all I needed to hear.
See, and like for me, I watch the little bag drill they do before practice, right before practice kicks off. And I've had people ask me this question, my man, what if they're sitting and double, like they've lost three or four in a row, they going to keep doing it? I say, dude, you don't understand. That little thing right there is something that ignites their practice, okay?
Yeah.
It's something where we all doing it together to get the emotions up. When I played, I always felt I was a spark plug. Guys knew. I'm going to come out lively in practice. They like, man, B-Miss, how you always have this much damn energy? I just felt it was something to start people up. Well, they do it as a whole team, and they're going to do it. You know why they're going to keep doing it? Because the coach has told them from the beginning. It's what we expect. You know, they're not letting them, y'all do it till we win or lose. No, you're going to do it every day because this is going to get your juices flowing. And if they keep doing that, I'm going to like it.
One thing about a routine, win, lose, or draw, man, you got to stay true, you know, and
there
that's
you
what
go.
It is. And that's what they're going to be. They're going to stay true to what they know. And I think that's the reason why, you know, Dan Quinn is one of those likable coaches, man, because that's the way he, you know, that's his method to his madness, man. He's going to stay true to what he know. And at the end of the day, those guys got to go out there and show up and play some good football.
See, that's another thing that I think helps his team out. Dan Quinn, the way he is, he's exactly – the way they see him on TV in his press conferences, he's that same person behind closed doors. He's that same person talking to us. After we get off, we had him on the radio yesterday. Once we're off the radio, he doesn't change. He's the same dude. And I think when players can see the consistency in their coach, he's a real dude, they're going to respond to him a lot differently than the guy that every situation he becomes somebody else.
I wish I could be playing for him right now. Hey, I tell you, I like his whole mantra, man. I just like everything about him, man. Just playing against – I remember those years playing against him, man. I just saw how that team, those teams used to come in and attack what we was doing. So
yeah.
Just watching, you know, those Cowboy defenses for the last few years and just knowing what he brought to the table, man, I'm loving what he's bringing over here to us, man. I'm looking forward to seeing those guys going out there and produce.
All right, well, Tanner, I'm looking forward to traveling with you this year, man. Me and Santana will be doing a pre- and a post-game show. Him and Brian Colbert Jr., we'll be doing a pregame on the road and at home, pre- and postgame. So get ready for Tampa next week, brother.
You already know. We have a blast. Can't wait, buddy.
All right, man. Take care, man. Appreciate you, Tanner.
You too, buddy.
All right, that's Santana Moss joining us on the BetQL guest line. 8 to 9, you can follow him on Instagram. Tanner's not on Twitter. Go on Instagram at 8, EIGHCTODANINE. But, hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment. And you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download America's number one sports book. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms and restrictions and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back, B-Mitch. B-Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby is in here trying to get his little foam baseball. But just finished talking to Santana Moss, and I love talking to Tanner because Tanner is a no-nonsense, straightforward kind of guy. And he's exactly right. Everyone now seems to say we got to have a tall receiver. Did you ask for that when Santana was running up and down the football field? Did you ask for that when you had Gary Clark and Ricky Sanders? Art Monk was tall. Art was able to do his thing. But Gary Clark and Ricky Sanders did a lot of stuff too. And I don't think anybody cared how tall they were. But today, in this day and age, that is the talk. Every time you don't have a lot of success, you say, well, we need a taller receiver. Terry's not 6 feet. He balls every damn game, every week, every year. He's had subpar quarterback play. It's not an excuse. These are facts. He caught balls that probably shouldn't have been caught. He catched balls that were thrown bad, but he made the quarterback look good, a la Lynn Swine did to Terry Bradshaw. That happens. But nobody cares how tall they are. So ultimately, what we need is production from whoever the hell they have out on the football field. I use the example of Tyreek Hill because I think Tyreek Hill is about, what, 5'9"? Nobody ever talks about how he needs to be tall. A lot of the other guys that were on the Kansas City Chiefs were about his height or a little taller, but they could scoot. And I think that's what you need. You need to have guys that produce. And if more guys produce, we're not going to be asking about no height. Just like we talk about everything but the actual play because we haven't had success. If we start doing the things we're supposed to do on this football squad, then all of that extra stuff goes away. And you know one person that's praying for it? Me. Because one thing I don't like when people – see, I go and I hear a lot of people coming to me talking to me about stuff that they've heard. And I know whenever I hear media talking and I hear – you know, a lot of the sports talk, and I hear the podcast. I know what the buzzwords are going to be now in every conversation I have with fans. And most times, I want to just ask one question. What the hell does that mean? And if you can't give me a legitimate answer, then I probably won't want to talk to you anymore. Don't repeat what you hear unless you know what the hell you're saying. When I hear people talking about the film watching and this, that, and the other, there ain't all these damn people in the world watching film. A lot of people watch TV. They don't watch film. Film is probably 3 to 4 times longer than what the actual game plan is if you're really watching film. If you're really watching film, you go through it and you watch just what the line does. You don't see anything else. Then you come back and you start adding stuff to it. Just like they put together stuff in football and then you bring everything together and you make a whole. So to improve, and y'all hear me say it to JP all the time, it's not just our job to bring you info and entertain you. It's our job to help educate. So what I'm going to start doing, and this is a promise, you call in here, you start giving me all of these buzzwords, I'm going to start asking you what the hell you're talking about. And if you're not right, I'm going to have a conversation, which you might not want to hear it. Because don't just say stuff to try to make yourself seem smart. If you don't know what you're talking about, that's not smart. That's stupid. To constantly repeat things that you hear without finding out what you're talking about. And if less of us stop always just saying stuff, then we'll have less people running around here with that same notion, acting as if they know what they're talking about and causing all this stir and talking about everything that don't mean a damn thing. We had two guys come on the show today. One play corner, one play receiver. They talk about the guys and they talk about what they think. But everybody out there thinks something else because somebody that heard a buzzword is running with it and you just believe in it. Every once in a while, listen to the guys that have done it. And just figure out what the other people are saying, is it true or is it just buzzwords? Because I can tell you, I work in a profession where a lot of people use a lot of buzzwords. A lot of them don't know exactly what it means, but it's good that they keep using it. And the fact that we have social media today, I could go post something completely wrong, and within minutes, you got hundreds of thousands of people that saw it, and they all now think they know something. And guess what? They all just became a little more stupid that day because it was not right. And they repeat it and they believe in it. But I promise you all, I'm not going to do that to you. If anybody else want to do it, they do it. We're going to have some disagreements because I'm going to try to tell you what's facts and what's truthful. And I'm not going to get caught up in just trying to make sure you're going to like something or have the buzzword. I'm not a buzzword kind of guy. I'm going to tell you straightforward what I believe type of guy. And if it's not true, it's not true. I'm not going to say it's true if it's not. Point blank. Take us a quick break here when we get back. It's time to ask me anything you want. It could be about football. It could be about life. Whatever. 800-636-1067. It's Ask B. Mitch Anything when we get back. Peace.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.